Good evening. I want to thank Doug Williams for considering me a young man in his prayer tonight. When I tell you a little bit later how old I am, you'll know that he was mistaken in that. But it's really a great privilege to stand before you tonight and share some thoughts that have been on my mind really for pretty good while, but especially as we started and did the community outreach in the past week or so, I've just been thinking about some things and really how we're perceived in this community and really how we interact with one another. And so I'm gonna start really with something that may seem a little bit odd, but I'm going to take a little survey and I'm going to ask for a show of hands here. The questions may seem a little bit different, so I want you to think about them for a minute. First one's pretty easy. They get a little more difficult as we go. First one is, would you prefer to be under the Mosaic Law or under grace? If you'd prefer to be under the Mosaic Law, raise your hands. Come on, get them up. Okay, if you prefer to be under grace, let's see a show of hands. Okay. Question number two, does biblical or doctrinal truth have to be sacrificed to extend or show grace to people? Do you agree with that? Raise your hand. Well, would be my son. Leave it to a lawyer, Always arguing. Okay, I'm going to read the question again. Does biblical / doctrinal truth have to be sacrificed for us to extend or show grace to others? Do you agree with that statement? Do you disagree? See a hands if you disagree. Okay. All right. Third question. I told you they're going to get harder. Third question. With all of our own preferences, traditions, and ideas, can we or do we extend grace to our community and other believers even if they look, sound, or act differently than we do? If you think we do, despite our traditions, let's see a show of hands. If you think we don't. Okay, we got a mixed bag there, okay? All right, hopefully, as we go through some of what we're going to talk about tonight, and let's see, I've got 12 pages and 14 minutes, so we've got about a minute and 20 seconds a page, so we'll see how it goes. First off, I want to preface what I say tonight that, and this is where you'll find out how old I am, Doug. I've been at Shannon Hills for 53 plus years. So I'm 53 plus. I started when I was 2 weeks old. I don't remember much about that, but I was here. In that time, I've never known us here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel to sacrifice the truth of Scripture. We've been very fortunate that the past leadership, the present leadership, have been extremely careful to guard and protect biblical truth. And that's something that is a rarity, I think, today. As I thought about some of the things that I wanted to get across, especially in relationship to our recent emphasis on the community, I sort of began to examine my own heart as to whether or not my own attitudes and my own actions reflected both the grace and the truth that God has given us, and for me to show that toward others. As I thought about it, it was pretty humbling to think about what He's done for me and how am I applying that to others. If we examine the world around us today, it's really not the same world that existed when Forest Avenue Tabernacle was started. Would you all agree with that statement? I mean, sin's been around a lot longer than that, but it's not been as blatant and as open as it is now when Forest Avenue started many years ago. Back then, values and morals were different. Even unsaved people were generally respectful, even if they didn't agree with your beliefs, that they would treat Christians generally with respect. They weren't ridiculed like many Christians are today. In fact, today we sort of live in the days of Noah. Man does what is right in his own eyes. Christians are ridiculed, and they're considered by many narrow-minded and bigoted. In a world that's really decayed rapidly, even in my own lifetime, how do we reach it with the grace and the truth of God without seeming judgmental and self-righteous? I appreciate what our brother John prayed tonight, too, the end of his prayer about, you know, all we have is from God. We have the truth because of Him, and for us to be humble and not be puffed up because of that. And that's really sort of the gist of some of the things that I want to talk about. We have a big challenge here, and I want to look really at what God's desire is for us individually and as a body of believers here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And I'm going to look at 4 points about grace and truth. The first one, I want us to look at the best example of grace and truth in God's Word. And then I want to look at the experience, the personal experience that we all have to have with grace and truth in our lives. And then the expression, and I'm going to spend more time on the last two than I do the first two, because in this crowd, one, you guys all know who the greatest example of grace and truth is in the Bible. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Okay, so this crowd already knows. I'm not going to beat you with a dead horse here. We're going to go over some things, but I'm going to spend a lot more time on the expression. How do we express grace and truth to others? And how can we foster an environment of grace and truth here at Shannon Hills and in our community? We're going to start with the greatest example, who you've already named, and that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 1, very familiar passage. Just a few verses we're going to read here, beginning in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. All of us have heard this passage many, many times. We could spend hours and hours on it. It's that deep and not scratch the surface. But it does tell us a couple of things that are pretty clear. And one is that not only is Jesus full of grace and truth, as we see in the verses here, but He's also our source of grace and truth. Theologian J.C. Ryle eloquently writes of the grace and truth that came together in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This constant, undivided union of two perfect natures in Christ's person is exactly that which gives infinite value to His mediation and qualifies Him to be the very mediator that sinners need. Our mediator is one who can sympathize with us because He is very man. And yet, at the same time, He is the one who can deal with the Father for us on equal terms because He is very God. This concept is also illustrated beautifully on the cross. Author Kerry Kinsolving writes, When I think of the grace, the words of the Lord Jesus on the cross come to mind. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's from Luke 23:34. Truth demands justice, but forgiveness is grace in action. The truth behind the unjust trial and crucifixion of Jesus is that He could have snapped His fingers, He could have annihilated His accusers, but Jesus allowed Himself to be falsely accused, unjustly whipped, and brutally crucified as a common criminal. Why didn't He resist? There's one word. What's that word? Grace. Grace. That's why He didn't resist. The truth is that our sins drove Him to the cross. He took our sins on Himself and bore the punishment that we deserve. And why is that? Because truth demands justice. And justice demands punishment for wrongdoing. And He took that punishment on Himself. He is the perfect example to us of how to display grace and truth. And he shows us the greatest example of it at the most dramatic time in his life, when he was on the cross, when he still reached out and showed forgiveness. We can go all through Scripture and see many other examples of the grace and truth in the life of Jesus. But to suffice it to say, he is the blueprint that we need to follow in showing grace and truth in our own lives. The second E that we'd like to look at is the experience of grace and truth in our lives personally. In order for us to show grace and truth to others, we have to have at least experienced it ourselves. Wouldn't you say that makes sense? Is that logical to a lawyer? Okay. If we're going to do something, we have to know something about it, or at least experienced it. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to another very familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians 2. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Again, this isn't rocket science, folks. This is stuff we've heard since we were in Sunday school. Very familiar portion of Scripture that tells us very clearly that we must accept the gift of God's grace if we're going to actually experience it. It's out there. He's offering it. He's offering it to everybody. It's not limited. Anybody can accept that gift. There are no limitations on that. But it is only obtained how? If we accept it. That's right. How do you get a gift? You have to accept it. And that's how we obtain the grace that He's offering to us. In order to possess the grace of God, we must accept the truth that Jesus came into this world to sacrifice for our sins. For we were dead in our sins. Ephesians 2:5 states, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Again, Jesus Christ is the embodiment of grace, and it's through Him alone that we can obtain grace. We must experience grace personally in our lives by accepting that perfect gift in order for us to effectively express it to others. Okay, we're going to move on now to expressing that. That's the great thing about speaking on Wednesday night. You sort of know your audience, you know. And not a lot of surprises. Most of the folks here, I feel confident, have experienced grace personally in their life. Amen? All right. What are we going to do with it once we've experienced it? We've got to show it to others. How do we express grace and truth in our own lives? Scripture gives us tons of references, and I'm going to rattle through a few, and with each one I'm going to ask a question at the end of the Scripture. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Here's a way we can express. Do we guard our tongues when speaking the truth, so that we're displaying the grace of God as it's been shown to us? Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Are we displaying the grace of God by showing mercy to others that's been shown to us? 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Are we using our gifts and talents to serve others and not for our own purposes? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. When we speak, is it edifying or is it destructive? Scripture's full of these ways that we can express grace. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over just judgment. This is a tough one. This goes right back to what John prayed. I think one thing that maybe I saw growing up. I'm not putting it down, but a lot of times we sort of felt like we had all the answers, you know, spiritually. And we could come across a little bit pious, judgmental. Are we judgmental towards others when we've been shown mercy ourselves? Colossians 3:12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Are we compassionate? Are we kind and humble, meek and patient with others? Again, as has been shown to us. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do we strive? Do we like strife and conflict? Or do we truly desire peace? That's just a few. The Scripture's full of all kinds of ways that we can express the grace of God to others around us. I'm going to rattle off a few. Probably going to take an extra minute or two. But I think it's important that we look at all the Scripture and let's think of some practical ways that we can incorporate them individually and as a body of believers among ourselves. Do we show grace to each other? Do we always show grace to each other? Do we show grace to the community that we're trying to reach? We don't sacrifice the truth, but are we seasoning it with the grace of God in all that we do? I'm going to give you 10 quick things. If you've got a pencil, write these down. These are practical things you can do to foster an environment of grace and truth. Showing grace with our words. When speaking with people, you should use words that are kind and gentle. Obviously, there are times we need to correct other people, but it never has to be done in a hateful or mean-spirited way. Find a way to gently say what needs to be said. Number two, look for the needs of others. Can you help somebody in a small way? Open a door for them. You know, not all of us are going to have the opportunity to do something big, like give a big cash gift or do some major donation or some heroic action. But we can all look for little things that we can do for people. So look for the needs of others. And I'm preaching to myself when I say these, especially the next few. My wife can actually verify these. I need to work on these as much or more so than anyone. Number three, respond with grace. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? You ever been criticized by someone? My wife tells me I don't take criticism good at all. Actually, says I don't even take it. Not whether it's good or bad. I just don't even take it. Sometimes it's not even just, you know, when we get criticized. But how do we respond? Are we responding with grace? What a way to show the love of Christ. Whether you're being criticized accurately, was that my sign to quit? Justly or unjustly, we can respond not in anger, but we can respond with a smile, a calm spirit. And if we do that, people are going to start to listen to what we say. And they're going to see the truth in our words if we respond with grace. Number four, a graceful presence. Sometimes we can show grace just by being there. Say somebody's hurting. They're bereaved. It's not so much what you say. You don't have to go in there and give some flowery condolence. It's be there and support them. Somebody's in the hospital. Some of the most effective visitors that go to the hospital, they don't go in there and stay for hours, but they make their presence known. So we can be a graceful presence in the lives of those folks who need them. Number five, forgive with grace. Okay? When someone asks for forgiveness, accept their apology graciously. You know, now's not the time to beat them on the head. See, I told you so. But forgive with grace. It's another tough one. Learn to say I'm sorry. You know, you may not always be wrong, but if we reach out first and say I'm sorry, remember, Grace is giving to the other person what they don't deserve. So if we think about that, it sort of affects how we act and respond towards them. Number 7, keep short accounts. And my account's getting longer and longer here. When you need to apologize, do it quickly. Don't keep a running tab of what's going on, you know, of offenses against you. Keep short accounts. This is one that I looked up and was sort of studying, and I said, well, how does it apply to this crowd? And I said, well, it applies to me some. It says, clean up your language. Now, on the surface, that sounds like, you know, maybe I'm out there throwing out words I shouldn't say, but it doesn't necessarily have to be curse words. There's things we can do to clean up our language, you know, that shows the grace of God. A lot of times, we say things that aren't bad words, but we say them in the same way that people say the bad words, you know, and what kind of testimony is that? So, you know, we can clean up our language. One simple way to show the grace of God is to say thank you. You know, it doesn't cost us anything to say thank you when someone does something for us. Write out a card of appreciation. I know many people at this assembly have sent cards over the years of appreciation and kindness, and they've touched people's lives. But be thankful. And then last, take interest in others' lives. Not just passing interest, but listen to them. You know, find out about them. A lot of times it's easy to tell them something about you. But let's try and listen to something about them. That was something that I think all of us who went out, when we went out to gather prayer requests, had the opportunity to do. We tried to engage them, but we weren't there to tell them a bunch of stuff about us and about Shannon Hills and about the Lord. We'd love to have that opportunity to if they opened the door for us, but we wanted to find out what was going on in their life. And man, that's a way to show the grace of God, is to let people know you're concerned about what's going on in their life. Well, I had about an hour's worth of material. I've got another page or two and another few scriptures, but I think I've beat us all over the head enough tonight. You know, we have so much to thank the Lord for. He's given us a perfect example of grace and truth together. We've experienced that personally in our salvation. You know, none of us deserve to be saved. And we're no more deserving of that person that may come in here on Sunday morning that's different than us. They're just as discerning, as deserving or undeserving. The salvation is just as available to them as it was to us. What makes us any different? Makes us any special? The only thing that makes us special is we've been given that grace. We've accepted it. Now it's up to us to do something with it. You know, I thought about the community. How do they perceive us? I've thought about some Sunday mornings when I look out on the audience, when I'm up on the pulpit during the opening exercises. And there'll be people come in that, man, they don't look like us. Or there may be somebody standing at the back doing like this when we're singing, you know. That may be some of you, I don't know. But I mean, there's people that are doing things that are different than we're used to. Does that mean they don't love the Lord? Is that for us to decide, you know? Let's take this challenge to heart. I know I have, that I've been given so much grace, and it's up to me to take and express that grace to others. Let's start in our homes. Let's take it to our local body of believers, and then let's radiate out to the community and let them see that Shannon Hills Bible Chapel is a body of believers that shows the grace, not sacrificing the truth, and love of God in all that they do. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for who you are. Lord, it's because of who you are that you were able to formulate this plan of salvation, Lord, that took us undeserving sinners, Lord, and gave us the opportunity to be filled with your grace and love. Lord, we thank you that you've willingly did this. We thank you that you loved us, that you've made provision for us to take this grace and take the truth of your word and the truth of your plan of salvation out to a lost and dying world. Lord, you've made it available to all. And you've challenged us to be a light in a dark world. Lord, help us each to look at our hearts, to examine them, Lord, and help us in every situation to show the love and the grace and the mercy that's been shown to us so that it will be a testimony for you and it will bring honor and glory to your name. Go with us as we separate. In Jesus' name, amen.